How does the church year teach us the fundamental narratives of salvation's story? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is Ordering Our Days in His Peace, An Introduction to the Church Year. It's written by regular guest Pastor Heath Curtis. You can check out Ordering Our Days in His Peace at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase our Book of the Month by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, Ordering Our Days in His Peace.
Thank you again, Southern Baptist, for the faith and trust and confidence that you've put in me. May God continue to bless us and use us to carry out the Great Commission. To bestow this honor upon me in my hometown with my mom and my dad and my church family, my wife and my kids can be a part of this. I'm so very, very grateful. To God be the glory for the things that He has done. God bless you. I love you.
That's Pastor Fred Luter, Jr. He is the newly elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He makes news because he's the first black president of the Southern Baptist Convention. How has the coverage been? It used to be that when this largest of Protestant denominations met together, 16 million strong, when they met together, yearly or otherwise, it made news, but there's less and less coverage of this. It takes something like a first for it to make the headlines. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the election of the first black president of the Southern Baptist Convention and a Detroit Free Press story about an Arab American festival in Dearborn, Michigan, Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Before we talk about the coverage per se, why do you think it is that, relatively speaking, so few reporters were in New Orleans on site for the Southern Baptist Convention meeting?
I think there's probably a couple of reasons. The big reason, one of the big reasons, is that there are just fewer reporters on the religion beat this day. The beat, you know, with the changes that have occurred in the media world, there's fewer God beat reporters, which means there's fewer people plugged in to come to something like this. And also fewer, you know, the travel money is an issue and budgets are an issue. And I think the other factor is just the technological capability to be able to maybe watch the proceedings from your computer and to not have to travel across the country to see what happens. And the other factor would probably be, you know, in the 80s, the conventions were drawing a lot of reporters because there was a lot of fighting between Baptists, between the conservatives and moderates for control of the convention, and now you've got a convention that's pretty firmly entrenched with the conservative side, so there's not the amount of drama that there used to be that would entice reporters to want to come cover the convention.
Does it make a difference for a journalist to be physically there on site when reporting a story like this?
I think it does, because if you're not there, if you're just seeing what's on the screen and what's going over the internet, you're not seeing in most cases, seeing the expressions on the people's faces. You're not walking through the convention, you know, through the displays and talking to the ordinary people and kind of getting a feel for what's really happening. You're just getting the scripted part of the convention.
Some of the media reporting presented it this way. Was the election of a first black president of the Southern Baptist Convention a surprise to anybody?
I don't think it was a surprise at this point, because Fred Luter, who was elected president, had been elected, I think it was first vice president a year ago, and since that point he's pretty much been the heir apparent, and he didn't draw any opposition. I guess until the last minute there was a chance he could draw an opponent, but he ended up going unchallenged. So I don't think it was much of a surprise to anybody.
How do you generally evaluate the media coverage of Luter's election?
I think it was pretty good. And, you know, you had a lot of, you know, the coverage I saw, a lot of actual people on the God beat, full-time religion reporters who covered it and did a pretty good job with it, including a reporter there in New Orleans where the convention occurred, who actually just received a layoff notice. But I don't, either before the convention happened, or maybe he's got a little time left, did a great profile. You had NPR, Religion News Service, CNN covered it, and New York Times covered it. I would say probably CNN and New York Times, I wasn't as impressed with their coverage as some of the others. And the other thing that I'm noticing in the post that I wrote for our print site, forgot to even mention the Associated Press had sent a reporter from Nashville, which is kind of means there's a little more coverage this year that it's, you know, it's a little harder even to keep track with all the major media that had covered the convention this year.
What were your concerns, what were your quibbles with the CNN and New York Times coverage?
Well, New York Times, which is pretty typical for them, tried to boil things down through the lens of politics. You know, one of the lines in the story was that while the new black president shares Baptist firm rejection of abortion and same-sex marriage, he preaches more about personal salvation than politics, as if all the other Baptist preachers are getting up on Sunday morning and mainly preaching about politics. And I think most Baptists would tell you that if there is some discussion of politics, that's not the majority of what they're talking about.
Also in the CNN piece, you take issue with a one word, however, where it's talking about what Luter's election reflects about the Southern Baptist Convention. Did
right.
Tell
well,
us about
there's a part of the story where it's talking about, well, it quotes Luter saying this, you know, his election is Exhibit A to the world that this convention's now ready to open its doors. And then immediately CNN says, however, he said he and the convention are opposed to same-sex marriage. And my question is, can the convention not be wanting to open its doors to a more diverse population of members, I think mainly speaking racially, and without having that issue of same-sex marriage being plugged in there as if that's a, I don't know, as if the two are, you can't do both at the same time.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of a Detroit Free Press story about an Arab American festival and some quote-unquote Christian missionaries. We'll see what Bobby Ross Jr. has to say. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, June the 22nd.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
36 hours of tutoring for $36 an hour. Sylvan Learning Center of Shiloh, 618-628-0018.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A pro-life victory in Maryland.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In 2008, 18 peaceful pro-life protesters were arrested by Maryland State Police. They spent the night in jail. Some were strip searched. What had they done? According to police, they had not obtained a permit to protest in that particular county. The problem with that, however, is that the county does not require such permits. The protesters filed suit, and we are glad to report that the state has settled the matter. State police had to pay all of the legal costs incurred by those protesters and are now required to take a class on the constitutional rights of protesters.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bobby Ross Jr. is our guest. We're talking about some media coverage of religious matters. Bobby, turning to another story that you note in the Detroit Free Press about an Arab American festival in Dearborn, Michigan. The story features both in the headline and the body the term Christian missionaries. What did you find concerning there?
Well, my concern with the story is there's really not much of a story there. It's, you know, and I've got a bias because my background is in print journalism, but the papers covered it like we used to laugh at TV for covering it, because they would get on there in 30 seconds, Christian missionaries protested such and such at a Muslim festival today, and would never quote anybody, never give any names, never tell you who the missionaries are, what group they represent. And that's pretty much how the Free Press story handled it. I counted 15 references to the word missionary or missionaries, yet they never named a single one. They mentioned this group called the Bible Believers, but then never went on to explain what that group is or who they are. So basically, you've got this vague group of protesters out there shouting nasty things, and you never find out who they are or what they're doing. You never hear from anybody else, a Christian per se, that could say that's really not who Christians are. This is a different kind of group. It's just a very strange story.
That's weird that it would be part of the headline, Christian missionaries,
right?
And yet that group never identified in the entire piece?
No, not even a single person identified by name or a spokesman or who they are or where they're from. It's just some Christian missionaries, and there's a whole story about them.
Do they explain where they get the term missionaries from at all?
Not at all.
So what do you think's going on there? I mean, besides, obviously, the easiest answer is lazy reporting, but what do you think's going on there?
I don't know if this is what journalism has come to, or if there was just a really tight deadline. I mean, it happened on a Friday night. I don't know if you've got an editor who hasn't been around, to, you know, a weekend type editor who doesn't know what questions to ask of a reporter, or I guess I would describe myself as flabbergasted by the story.
So what did it need, if you were the editor, before it actually went to print, what would you require of the journalist writing the story? With about a minute here, Bobby.
I would ask them, rather than just stand back and watch all this and try to report it without talking to somebody, go up and say to somebody holding a sign, say, what's your name? What are you doing here? What's your concern? Who do you represent? Just do some basic reporting is what I would ask.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religion publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.